Okay, let's continue on Chof Ches Amid Beis. All right, so we'll take up now, we have three interesting cases, right? Where it's two Havaminas, really. I mean, now the Gemara is like exploring the limits over here of Krovim. Like, what is the least connection of to be considered Krovim? It's exploring a couple of Havaminas that it rejects, that maybe these people are Krovim. Okay? So, I think the sense I get from the Sugi and the Mfarshim is that these Havaminas are Darabanan. Wouldn't be, it's not a Havamina in the Darais anymore. Okay? I just don't see that possible to be a Havamina that these are Psulim, these are Krovim in the Darais. Okay, let's take up the cases. Got it? First case? Who wants to read today?
Okay,
good. Okay, so we're now going back to which case? Baal Imo. Baal Imo. So that's the mother's, his mother's husband. And then, what? And then we say in general, everybody who's mentioned in the Mishnah, b'neim v'chasoneim. Right, the Mishnah doesn't say Baal Imo hu v'no v'chasoneim. It has the whole list of everybody. And then at the end it says, hein uv'neim v'chasoneim. So therefore we know that your stepfather's son is puzzled to you. Okay, correct? His stepfather is Baal Imo, and his son. Now, the interesting thing is that what? The assumption in all of these cases is what? When it says the son, the implication is it's from that union. Right?
Right, so it's a half-brother.
Ah, so that's the Gemara's question. That's the Gemara's question. Bino hainu achiv. Right? And what do you mean, your mother's husband's son? That's your half brother. Correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Good.
That's not your stepbrother?
That's your. No. What's a stepbrother?
It's the same mother.
Tell me what a stepbrother is, and I'll tell you if it's a stepbrother.
A stepbrother is from, let's say, your.
A different mother.
Stepfather's son from a different mother.
No. That's not what the Gemara's question is. The Gemara's question is if the Mishnah says what?
Oh, you're gonna make the diagram and show me. That's a good.
The
diagram.
Gemara says what? Here is Imo. Right. Here is Bala. Here's the Baal Imo, and here is here's you. You are here. Okay. So now the Gemara's assumption is when it says the Imo, it means from that. When it says who, when it says Bonov, it means this. Okay? So you come from your mother and another man. We'll call him X. Okay? So the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? Baal Imo, I got that, the mother's husband, right? But Beno is just my half-brother. That's what I'm saying. The assumption of the Gemara always is, when it's referring to the Bonim, it's the Bonim from the relationship that it's referring to itself. Okay, so if it says your... if it says your sister's, it says your brother's, it says your sister's husband and his son, it means your sister's son from him. Doesn't mean she marries somebody with a son. That's the lingo.
More simple case.
Yep, that's the lingo. Okay? So that's the Gemara's question. What do I need to know? What do you need to tell me? Baal Imo Ubino. That's just your half brother. Right, your brother.
Same mother.
Okay. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, this is what it means. This is what it means. Go ahead, Rashi. What's Ache Ha'ach?
Ben Sheyesh Lebal Imo Miisha Acheres.
Okay. So he had another wife. And they together had another Ben. Okay. They together had another Ben. So we'll label them, all right? We'll label them so we can refer to them. Okay. So now, go ahead. Is there any more in the Rashi?
Yeah. Pasul lo mipnei shehu achei achir.
Okay. So let's figure it out. So let's just do the whole thing over. Let's just make it A, B, and C. Okay. Okay. So now A to B. What are they?
Brothers.
They're brothers. B to C.
Brothers.
Brothers. And then A to C.
Nothing.
Brothers, brother.
Brothers, brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So why are you calling it brothers now? And not brothers? Or are you just saying...
Okay. Oh, so in other words, technically speaking, A to C are not related at all. Because A has his own mother and his own father, and C has his own mother and his own father. They don't share anything. Right? A and C do not share anything.
So that's assuming there's a B that exists.
Well, that's a good question. But A and C are not related at all, right? What do they have in common, though? They have a brother in common. Blows your mind, right?
Right, so we're saying that brother doesn't exist.
Because A and B are brothers through the mother. B and C are brothers through the father. So they share a brother. A and C share a brother.
So yeah, they're saying they're related, but they have a common relative.
They have a common relative. They have Ache Ho'ach.
Some people are related.
They have a brother in common. Avi, you with me? Okay, good question. Good question. So that's the way it's true. I mean, so what is this? Oh, so this is who? This is Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya says, "Ach eho ach would be puzzle," and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, right? Yeah, Gil. Okay.
Don't we talk about
it? Discuss it directly at least. Okay. Anyway, so go ahead. Let's just get the sheet straight. That's Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya says they're puzzle to each other, right? And Rav Chisda says.
Rav Chisda achsher.
Right.
Achsher be achei ha'ach.
He says achei ha'ach ha'kasher.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Amru lei lo name.
And it says brother from the mother. No, so Rabbi Yirmiya said, Rabbi Yirmiya learns beno means achei ha'ach. And Rav Chisda says beno means just his brother. He holds achei ha'ach is kasher. So the Gemara says, so if beno means your brother, why is it in there? The Mishnah already says achim. That's the first case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Rav Chisda says no. Achiv means from your father. Baal imo hu beno, the son from the baal imo is the brother from your mother, and he holds the Mishnah had to teach you both cases. The Mishnah had to teach you both cases. The mother, the brother from your father plus the brother from the mother. There's a havamina that the brother from the mother is different than the brother from the father. Okay, so there's two points going on here, right? Now it's coin. So the first we have machlokas of the brother, of the brothers of the brother, right? The brother of your brother. That's the A to C. And then you have a question of if is Baal Imo different than Baal Avim? Okay. All right. So let's take the first question though. Let's take the question of the Ache Ho'ach. Yeah, so you saw the Yad Ramah, right? And the Muki Yosef. I mean, I think they both are basically learning the same way. It stands to reason that Rashi would be the same way too. And that is that what? Interesting that what? That when do we say there's a Havamina or there's a Machlokas about the Ache Ho'ach? It's Dafka when there is that third brother. There's no Havamina, though, just purely stepbrothers. There's no Havamina, just purely stepbrothers. Now, Havamina is because of the middle brother. That's going to make them Krovim. Okay? So how does that make them Krovim? I mean, that goes against what we've been doing up till now. I mean, right? It's like a conditional thing. So the Mukiyosu says like this. He says, V'ach shelhu Rav Chista. That's how we paskin. But he gives the Havina. Afal gav da'al yedei ha'em tso'i nirim kulo ke'achim. Right. It's an interesting idea. He's saying the middle brother makes them all appear like brothers. Ve'od sheragilim elu im elu harbe. And they hang out a lot. Right? So this is the genuine machlokas, though. What's the machlokas here? You know what? Before we get to this machlokas, let's take one more case, and then we'll compare this. Okay. What's the next case? The mechutanim. Let's take the mechutanim. Right? You know what mechutanim are? Let's take the next one.
Doesn't count.
Omer of Chista. Omer of Chista.
Okay.
You did this one too?
Zenza.
Right. So Rav Chista said that what? The father of the chassan with the father of the kala can be me'idim ze'imze. Okay, what is that? That's simply Ben Ruvain Shenosa Bas Shimon. And not the Reuven and Shimon who were brothers, right?
Yeah.
Different Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven's son marries Shimon's daughter. Lo niskarvu Reuven and Shimon bekach. So they're not Krovim because of that. Uksherim leheyed ze lo ze bekol edios. They can be made in anything together. V'lo aminan b'shvil b'no sheniskarev Reuven l'Shimon nifsal Reuven l'Shimon. We don't say that through the children, right, that Reuven and Shimon are considered Krovim. But he gives a funny explanation. What's his explanation? V'lo domu l'hadadi. Who's not domu l'hadadi? Go ahead.
Reuven and Shimon l'hadadi.
Interesting point. What does it mean they're not domu l'hadadi? They're not like each other. They're not similar to each other. As opposed to what?
Close to each other.
Okay, let's go ahead. What are they like?
Let's start again. In comparison. Ella ki achla ladana.
They're like an achla ladana. What's an achla and what's a dana?
Rashi ke kimagufa she'ina dome lechavis.
Okay, so the magufa is the lid, right? It's not like the lid of the barrel. That's not like the barrel. Yeah, so the Muki Yosef and the Yad Ramah, they both give a little bit of a clearer explanation, more of a full explanation. What did the Yad Ramah say? I don't remember right now, but the Muki Yosef has, he says like this. He says, Lo domi Reuven v'Shimon lahadadi. They're not like each other. Ela ki'uchla ladana. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't here. I guess it was in the Yad Ramah. Oh, the Yad Ramah, yeah. And the Meiri, I think they both had something. What did he say over here? He says... that's right. She'ein b'hem dibuk ela hanocha ba'alma. He says, what does it mean? It's like a lid to a barrel? It just rests on top. The lid just rests on top of the barrel. Okay, it covers it, but it doesn't stick to it. It doesn't stick.
That's a nice little... But where's he getting that from?
Hanocha ba'alma, eino migufo shokli. It's not considered part of it. You don't consider the lid to be part of the barrel.
Okay.
it functions. They function together. They got to see each other at affairs, you know, family events.
No, I gotta invite
but they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
When he brought this analogy that he needed as like something that we're supposed to read into, like.
No. He's trying to explain something about Krovim. What's the nature of the psul of Krovim?
By the Machatanim.
This is the point I want to just discuss a little bit. There's a Havamina by the Mechutanim too. He has to say something. He says it. There's a Havamina. Okay. And I'm saying that what's interesting, if we think about it, let's think about it like this. It seems to me that there's no Machlokas by this case. It's true as Rav Chisda, but I don't think there's a Machlokas by this case. I don't think Rabbi Yirmiyahu argues on this case. So you have an interesting thing. You know, you have these two relationships that are not really intrinsic. Okay, you have the relationship of stepbrother to stepbrother via middle brother. Right, they're not an intrinsic relationship because it's only because of the stepbrother. It's only because of the middle brother that comes along that creates this relationship between the two stepbrothers. Right, so there's something that's creating the relationship between two unrelated people. That case is similar to the Mechutanim, no? You have the two parents, and because of the children getting married, we're saying something happened that brought them together, but we don't call them related.
Yeah, but they even still say that they share a common relative also. I mean,
so how come... So here's my question. Here's my question. By the brothers is a machlokas, but by the Mechutanim there's no machlokas.
I think the Chutanim case is...
Let's just break it down a little bit. Okay, let's just take it piece by piece for a minute. What is the Havamina of the brothers? Let's take the Havamina of the brothers. Oh, it's a Machlokas by the brothers. Let's take the brothers. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Anyone want to say something? Yeah. All right, so let's take the first case, the Ache Ha'ach. Let's take the Ache Ha'ach. So what's the machlokas? What's the machlokas? See, this is what I wanted to point I was trying to make before. What that I find it interesting how Rav Chisda says lo domu lahadadi. Okay, lo domu lahadadi means Reuven and Shimon are not domu lahadadi. Okay, but in a certain sense, you could say that about the Ache Ha'ach. In other words, in a functional way, they share a relationship of brotherhood. They have a certain similarity to each other. Because of the middle brother, there's a certain mutual relationship among all three of them of brotherhood. So the shame achva, the shame of brother, there is a functional reality between the three of them of an identity of brothers. Okay? Because, so in a certain sense, they are damula dadi. In a certain sense, there's a similarity. It doesn't say that there, it's true. But it seems that's the question over here with between Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rav Chisda. That what? That is there a psul when they share a shame of ach among the three of them? They have a to each other in a lateral sense. They have among the three of them an identity of ach. Okay, so in that's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. But everybody who agree over here, they're saying everybody agrees over here that's not the case. But what's the Havamin over there? Yeah. I'm saying it's mutual because this the very same identity that they have with B is the identity that they all have together.
Yeah, they have grandchild to grandfather and grandchild to grandfather.
But what are they to each other? Fathers to each other?
Right.
You can't call them brothers. You can't call them. There's no mutual identity that we can say to each other they have.
What do you call ANC brothers?
In a sense, we could say they're brothers via the middle guy. My brother's brother is my brother.
Maybe he said that Reuben and Shimon.
That's what the Namuk Yosef is trying to explain. They hang out together and they're all called brothers. A certain identity. In other words, there's a functional, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yirmiyahu and Rav Chisda. What about a functional identity of brother? They all share a functional relationship of brotherhood. Okay?
It's because the function of B is connecting them.
That's right. The function of B is connecting them in the relationship that B has to each one.
Right.
The very relationship that B has to each one is going to be a bridge to each other in that very same thing.
Right. If
he says, Nirin kulam ka'achim. They all look like brothers. Regilim elum elu harbri. Yeah. So in other words, that's purely from the circumstances of the birth of B, there becomes a functional, for lack of a better term, a functional relationship of brotherhood between them all. Yeah. So it's interesting. So this case is the machlokas. This case is the machlokas. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds what? That they're posel. That they're posel, right. And Rav Chisda holds they're kosher. Because he insists on, he says this is just a fiction. It's just a fiction. They might hang out like brothers, but they're not really brothers. Right. Okay. Oh, just briefly. So, what's the hafamina of Baal of the brother from your father versus the brother from your mother? This we mentioned a little while ago, right? That the family of the from the father has a different element of family because that's the family identity goes by the father, like the shevet. So there's a hafamina that krovim goes by not just the relationship but the identity of the relationship that gives you your identity. So, from the mother's side, you have a different identity. This could be a Yisrael, he could be a Kohen. The different identities. So, in other words, is it just go by the distance to the source? So, you both are equidistant in terms of identity. You share a parent. In other words, A to B versus B to C are equally close to each other. If we're going to say that they share one... what would you call it? One strand of DNA. So but in terms of identification, he's identified with this group and he's identified with that group. Okay, that was a point from before. But now let's see if we could just extend the. But what about the? What about the havamina of this case, of the mechutanim? What's the havamina of the mechutanim? What does this have? That they don't. Right, lo amrinan. It's interesting the way that Rashi puts it. He says, "Lo amrinan bishvil bino, whose son? Reuven's son. Right, Reuven's son got married to Shimon's daughter. We don't say that because of Reuven's son, that Reuven becomes close to Shimon. In other words, we don't say that since Reuven's son got close to Shimon's daughter, that makes Reuven and Shimon close. But there is a certain closeness. In other words, if you look, you did the next Gemara too, right? So it was Ishus. Ishus is a certain objective kiruv, right? Ishus. See. It's a good point. Yeah, we have to make it. It is an excellent point that you're making from before. That we don't view the parents marrying the same way as the children marrying. We don't view the parents marrying the same way the children marrying.
And what is it exactly?
What's that?
Well, what is it exactly?
Which one?
I'm saying, why don't we? What is the distinction?
Yeah, what is the distinction?
I think it's more like a physical.
Clearly different, but what's...
Because it's like, you can't have two dads, but you could have two sons.
Right.
Two daughters,
right.
A variation of which.
Right. That's what I was trying to say before. In other words, you can enter in, into your family, you can bring in your daughter-in-law. It's part of your family. Right? It's a natural, that's a natural phenomenon. That's the way generations beget generations, right? So, but the parents to marry, that's already a rearranging of a family order. Okay, because parents.
So we don't say
because your mother got, because your father got close to another woman, that makes you close to her son. You live in different spheres. You're in different spheres. You're not really a father or a mother has a certain vicarious joy through their children. It doesn't work the other way. It doesn't. I mean, you're happy, you look forward to your children to getting married, and that is a certain natural extension of your family. It's a certain natural growth of your family. Okay? But not the other way around. That's not how families grow. Parents get remarried to other people. That's not a normal Seder of the way. Certainly is not necessary. This way is necessary. You have to have the next generation come together, or else you're not going to have the generation that follows. So there's a certain Havamina. So let's just discount the marriage of the mother and the father.
Why don't we look at them in a bubble?
Who? Right.
Okay.
No, that's right. There's no Havamina that just because your parents got married, you'd be related. Even Rav Yirmiyah doesn't hold that way.
It's because you have a common brother.
It's only because of the common brother that makes a functional relationship. Okay? But without the functional relationship of the brotherhood, it doesn't seem there would even be a Havamina. But there is a Havamina when the children get married, that Reuven and Shimon now are fitting together. They fit together in a certain way. So what's the Havamina over there? And what's the Maskana? I mean, so let's say people go into business together. They also fit together. What does it mean they're fitting together?
It's like a joining of the two families. The definition of Krovim is anyways.
In other words, that's what I'm trying to say over here. Can I say that marriage is objectively a form of joining? Family, of joining and creating and expanding and creating family. Having a third brother is not. You know, you have to understand, this is what I'm trying to work out. You'll tell me if you agree or not. As over here, there's something that's in this case that's not in this case, and vice versa. As over here, they have a mutual identity of brotherhood. But there's no objective action of joining together that was ever done. There was no conscious action that of A to C to join. Functionally, it happened that because B came along, right? We should have made him C. But functionally, it happened because B came along, they exist together in a certain way. Okay? Whereas by the case of Reuven and Shimon, there is an objective maisa of kiruv that was done between their children. Okay? So there's a Havamina that if my son and your daughter engage in a Maisa of unification together, that's an act of unification, then that has the effect of making us join together as well. So that's what the Gemara is saying. No, he's saying, look, This relationship doesn't really, there's no mutuality over here. You don't become brothers because your kids get married. You work together. You facilitate each other. The point I'm trying to make is like this. There has to be a Havamina in this case. Okay? But what's the Havamina in this case? You wouldn't say just because people work together, maybe they're considered Krovim. The Havamin is there's an objective Maisa of of extension of the there's an objective misa of Krovim, which is marriage. He's saying even though there's an objective misa of marriage, which is what makes relationships, there's an objective action of forging a relationship, still the fathers to each other are only relate to each other in a purely functional way. They only work together. They don't really become one goof.
You still have you have an objective.
Over here, they become one goof in a certain sense, but not through an objective misa. So I'm trying to play these two cases slightly off of each other. And I say, this case they really join to become krovim, but only in an accidental way. Only because it happens to be that this brother exists, they accidentally happen to function through him as brothers. Okay, so it has the existence of Krovim in a certain sense, but it doesn't have any formal joining, any formal Misa of joining of A to C. It's just because of B they happen to relate to each other. Whereas this case has a formal Misa, but it doesn't create any relationship between Reuven and Shimon. So in other words, what we're saying is that
can you put in grandchildren, like just to, on the chart?
Would you like to be a boy or a girl? Okay. So the point is, what's interesting is that without there being a Misa of joining, there wouldn't be a Havamina. Because it has to be an action of building the family. So he's saying, just the action of building the family, if it doesn't have any effect on the parents, the parents don't become related to each other in that sense, because they don't have any internal, with each other, they don't have any internal relationship. They just each have to work together to facilitate the marriage of their children. But they don't have anything to each other. So then there's no Havamina. Then there's no Machlokas. We don't say just because there was a Maisa of Kiruv, if it doesn't result in an actual mutual relationship, then we say there's no Machlokas, that there's no relationship. I'm just pointing out, without this Maisa, there wouldn't be a Havamina. So there's a Havamina, but there's no Machlokas. Whereas over here, where there actually is the substance of brotherhood, you have a machlokas. Okay, because it doesn't come about through a because it only exists in a situational way, not in an objective way. Yeah, you understand the principle. So the principle is that you're only related. That the only time you'd have, the principle is lemaskana, that without some, the principle is that what? That there's only a relationship between each other, this is the machlokas, when there is a mutual identity of Krovim. So that's brother to brother, you can call him your brother in a certain sense. Okay? And then there's the machlokas of Rav Chista, right? Rav Chista says that's not enough. He has to be your brother objectively. Rav Yirmiyah says it's enough if the relationship of brotherhood exists subjectively. Okay? But if there's no mutual relationship, like Reuven to Shimon, even though there's an objective Misa of joining, that doesn't do anything. So the Iker is the mutual relationship. He's just saying, since they don't have the mutual relationship, even though there was an objective Misa of the families coming together on some level, that doesn't mean anything. Ultimately, relationship has to do with the way you relate to the other person directly, intrinsically. So the brothers have that in some sense. It's not real, it's just situational. But he's just saying, Rav Chista is saying, and you should know that the problem with the brothers is not that there's not an objective joining. The problem is, I don't consider them intrinsically mutual. And he's demonstrating that with Reuven and Shimon. Even though they have a Misa of getting together, because of Chasanus, they get together through their children, Since they're not Doma La'dodi, it doesn't mean anything. So they're having us the action. Okay, just to, we'll take up the next case. Let's just Bekitzer. See, now, the next case is interesting. Is the Arusa, right? What's the case with the Arusa? That, then we say that what? That, the Machlokas too, right? Rabba Bar Bar Chana says you can be made to the Arusa. What is an Arusa?
First step in
the suing, right? Yeah. Kedushin. Right, nowadays it lasts for like 5 minutes, but it could be for a year. I mean, it could be extended as long as you want. In the old days, they used to do it for a year. They would. That's the Harayat Mikudeshus. That's the Kedushin, right? And what does that do? Designates the woman in terms of Isser. It's a kinyan of Isser. Now she's Asur. Now she's Asur to the whole world, and. And then the suin is basically where you take her into your home, right? The kedushin is like you're separating her, you're designating her, and then the suin is where you take her into your house. Okay, you make her the your wife, but kedushin is a serious business, right? You can't just walk out of the situation of Arison. You need a get from Arison. So, but it's not the same as nisuin, right? It's not the same as Nisuin. We'll see. So this Gemara goes into some of the details. So let's take the case. So he says, so Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says, you can be made to your wife who's an Arusa. And Ravina says, what? Lo Amran Ela Fukimina. That's to take something from her. Of a Yuli Lo Lo Meheman.
Meaning to testify against her.
Right. In other words, it says you can testify against her so that she'll, for her to lose, but not for her to gain. Why? What kind of a din is that? What kind of a din is that? That's just what?
You're nogea.
You're like your nogea. It's like your nogea.
What did we say was the reason for, you know, any relative why you can't testify against them?
Xeris HaKosovi. What did the Ram say? Oh, was it the Ram? You saw the Ram in the end of it?
Didn't we say something of just like...
we said something halachically. Halachically speaking. Oh, well, those were in our... We were thinking it through in our Havaminas.
Testifying for clearly, like...
Oh, we had that. Right, that was the Havamina of the Gemara. That maybe you can only testify for your relative, right, not against. So that we don't hold that way. The maskana is any way is possible.
Right, but why would we say you can't even testify against? What was the?
Why you can't testify for you against? Which way?
The Havamina. Not halachically. Like what would be the?
Oh, we had a Havamina that really you're good, really you're a kosher aid. The only thing is, it's a chesed. The Torah doesn't make you convict your own father. But to exonerate him, you could. That was a Havamina in the Gemara. Maybe it's not an objective soul. It's just like, because Gemara has Havamina, lo yumsu avos labana, but what about for a zechus? So we just said, what kind of sense would that make? So it would mean that you really, it's not a real psul aidus. It's like a chesed, that you don't have to. Torah doesn't put you in a situation where you have to condemn your own father, but you're a kasher. But we don't hold that way. We hold it's that you're apostle. Either way, you're apostle. So that's what the Ram says. Zesh apostle Torah edus hakrovim lo bnei shein becheskas ovim zezeh sherei eno meid lo l'tovaso v'lo l'roaso elikzeres hakosavi. Right, and the Shulchan Aruch also, he says, even if it was Aaron and Moshe, they couldn't testify for against each other. Okay. And on the contrary, we say Oav and Sone is kosher. Okay. As an aid. Shelo Gozra Torah Elokva. We said in terms of halacha that it's like they're one unit. So that lacks in corroboration. That was just the way we
but that only explains testifying with them.
Or against anything, because Adis implies a fact and then a separate external verification. If you are part of, you can't test, that's why you can't testify on your own behalf, because you're part of the thing itself. Right. But anyway, so over here the Gemara is saying that Arusa is really not a Karov. It's just a din, like Avi says, of Nogea. That if you're going to, you know you're going to marry her soon, that's the plan at least, then the suing is supposed to happen. So maybe, so they were learning, it's possible because you're Nogea. If she gets a windfall, maybe you'll push up the date, the marriage, the wedding a little earlier. But eventually it'll come down to you, right? It'll be down to your benefit. Anyhow, so the Gemara says, Velohi, it's not true. Loshna lafuki, loshna liyuli. Lo mehemon. It's a regular soul of Krovim. So now the Gemara says, why is that so? Why is that a regular soul of Krovim? We know from other halachos that an arusa is not really considered your karov yet, right? So, for instance, in terms of a Kohen being metame for his krovim, so he can't be metame for her, his arusa, only for his only for the nesua. So that shows you that it's not really a karov yet, right? Okay, it goes through different yerusha. The yerusha doesn't is only by the nesua, not by the arusa. So again, you see the dinim of krovim don't apply. Okay. Onanus, that means that when a relative dies, you can't eat the kudshim. So all those things are only by she'ero, right? Only by relatives. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Hasam, you think that she's kasher. You think she's not a karov because of all those other halachos. But those other halachos are tali on the definition of she'ero. She'ero akarov elav. That's ishto. Right? So, ki'im le she'ero akasov. Right? She'ero zu ishto. And also by Yerusha. But, hacha mishum ikruvi daitahu. But this psul of ishto is really taloi on kiruv das, on the fact that you're close to each other. Emotionally, and you're close, and that is formed. That is true from Arison. That's true from Arison. Strange Gemara, huh?
What is
the Gemara is saying that the halachas of Yerusha and being metame for your wife and onanus, that's all toloi on karov, on being related. That's she'ero or karovilov. That's only from the suin. But why, what's the psul of ishto based on? A certain amount of love, certain amount of kiruv das.
You don't have that for other krovim? Let's say you have it for one karov.
Hold on. But when does that begin? Erison. So once they have the kiddushin, now they're related in terms of kiruv das. And therefore the psul of ishto as a karov le'edus begins at Arison. But it's strange, because didn't we just say a second ago that these things are just the geiros akasov and not based on love? Okay, so take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam has an interesting sheet over here. The Rambam says that from Arison you're only puzzled to the woman herself. You wouldn't be puzzled to her brother, her father. All of those other psulim only come in after Nisuin. So the Rambam takes this Gemara. What's that?
He basically excludes the woman herself.
That's right, exactly. Rambam takes this Gemara in a funny way, like a middle ground. If you're fully karove love, and when you're she'ero, when it's your wife and she's like ishto kigufo, ishto kibayla, then you're going to be puzzled to her father, to her brother, to all those other krovim, to her krovim. But the arusa, the Rambam is learning, is only possible to be meyed on her. But you'd still be kosher to be meyed on her relatives. So it doesn't seem like the Rambam is taking this as a daraisa either. But we'll think about that point for tomorrow, and then we'll go on to the next. The next sugya is the last big sugya that we're going to take up, I think. It's a big one.